When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Back together again, Katie!
Woohoo!
Physically in the same space.
Ooh, and with a special guest today, too.
Oh, that's right. Original OG pop shopper Jason Lipschitz is back.
That's right.
On the pod.
You'll have to stay tuned to see why.
Because, as always, did we introduce ourselves?
Yes.
Okay. Because, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Drake and 21 Savage team up for the year's biggest hip-hop debut. Plus, Taylor Swift stays put atop the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart with Antihero, while 8 songs from her loss debut in the top 10.
Also, it is Tuesday as we're recording this, and the 2023 Grammy nominations are out. We actually met up with the founder of the Pop Shop, Jason Lipschitz, to kind of give our first impressions of the big 4 categories.
Hot takes, everybody.
Hot takes. We're talking about like less than an hour after these things wrapped up. We were shoveling out the hot takes. So stick around for all that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do the chart chat. First up, Drake and 21 Savage's collaborative album, Her Loss, debuts at number 1 on the Billboard 200 chart with the year's biggest week for an R&B hip-hop album and the 4th largest streaming week ever for any album. Her Loss launches with 404,000 equivalent album units earned in the United States in the week ending November 10th, according to Luminate. Streaming activity drove the bulk of that sum, probably no surprise to anyone, to the tune of 513.56 million on-demand official streams of its 16 tracks.
That's a few.
That's just a few. Her Loss is the 12th number one album for Drake and the 3rd number one for 21 Savage. Drake now solely has the 3rd most number one albums on the Billboard 200 chart since the list began publishing on a regular weekly basis in March of 1956. Ahead of him are only The Beatles with a record 19 number ones and Jay-Z with 14. Drake was previously tied with Bruce Springsteen, Barbra Streisand, and Taylor Swift, each with 11 number one albums on the Billboard 200. Over on the Billboard Hot 100, Drake places 8 songs in the top 10, all from the Her Loss album, bringing his career count of top 10 hits to a record-extending 67. 67. 6-7.
How many does your friend Madonna have?
38.
That used to be a really, really impressive number.
38. 38. I will point out for chart geeks out there, obviously, most or many of Drake's top 10s came in the streaming era on the Hot 100, which, of course, changes how the chart works. And it's very easy if you're a superstar like Drake or Taylor Swift to just rack up those top 10s immediately because your album is instantly popular with gajillions of people on streaming services all at the same time. All right. All that said, Drake is not number one on the Hot 100 because Taylor Swift's Antihero adds a third week at number one.
She did it.
Boosted by 7 new alternative versions of the song that were released between November 7th and November 10th during the chart's tracking week. 2 weeks ago, the song debuted at number one as Swift made history as the first artist to hold the entire top 10 at the same time. In the week ending at November 10th, Antihero earned 51.3 million in radio airplay audience, which was up 37%, 31.1 million streams, that was down 13%, and
Taylor's favorite number.
except
it's down.
It should have gone the other way. And sold 327,000 downloads. And that is up a meager 1,793%.
That's so wild. Yeah, keep going, Keith. There's a lot more context here.
Okay, so that big sales number, 327,000 sold, it is the largest sales week for a song in over 5 years, since Swift's own Look What You Made Me Do sold 353,000 in its first week in 2017.
And that was in its first week, A.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when Look What You Made Me Do was not on streaming, B.
Right, and digital track sales were still kind of a thing before streaming became what it is.
Yes.
So you might be wondering, how did that number get so big? Well,
I mean, I'm not wondering because I had to cover every one of these remixes that she put out last week.
What, did you breathlessly write a new story about every single remix?
Not every single one. We started to, and honestly, the first one that came out last week was the Bleachers remix, which was made with Jack Antonoff, who also produced this project. Which was fun. The idea of you know,
right,
Jack producing the song and then the Bleachers being featured on it, and they kind of changed the lyrics. Like Jack had his own verse where he talked about like art boys instead of sexy babies, things right, like that. And so that was probably the buzziest one. And then from there, the names I didn't always recognize, the remixers. So they got a little less, you know, buzzy
urgently,
as they went along.
Urgently posting. Katie mentioned the first version that came out, the first alternative version that came out was the Bleachers remix, and it was available both in a clean and explicit form. So you could buy the clean and explicit tracks and collect them all. There was a Roosevelt remix, a Jada G remix, I believe it's Kung's remix, both clean and explicit. And even an acoustic version.
That's straight out of the BTS playbook right there.
Absolutely. All versions were discounted to 69 cents for a limited time during the tracking week, with many of the sales driven by Swift's own web store.
I guess the acoustic version is kind of like the karaoke version. Right? Could you just like sing along to it? Or no, you're saying acoustic. I was thinking the instrumental. did you happen to see, Keith, Drake share the Hot 100 Top 10 on his socials on Monday?
I did, Katie. And what is unique about how he shared Billboard's graphic of the Top 10 of
the
Hot 100?
Well, as you mentioned, 8 songs from his album Her Loss are in the Top 10 of the Hot 100.
Right. Number one is Antihero.
And
Drake has 2 through 9. And then number 10 is Unholy,
by Sam Smith and Kim Petras. Well, he used emojis to cover up number one. He left number 10.
He left Sam and Kim completely intact.
So it wasn't like he was just trying to highlight the songs that he had in the top 10. He was very expressly trying to cover up the number one. And there was a lot made, I think, last week when these remixes came out. This was obviously her first, I was going to say it's her first biggest competition, but she also topped the Rihanna Black Panther song mm-hmm. the week before.
And certainly Rihanna tried. She had alternative digital covers of her song. And
right.
Like an instrumental version.
And so Taylor was clearly going for this week, you know, getting that number one for a third week. Mm-hmm. And Taylor and Drake have been friends in the past. They posted photos together. They were both, I think, Apple Music spokespeople at the same time, and they had a joint commercial together. That was probably like 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But like, apparently, again, like the internet sleuths figured this out, but apparently he deleted a photo of the two of them together on his Instagram too. So apparently he's feeling like not excited about this. But like, does Drake need another number one?
Apparently.
I don't know. Apparently he did.
All right. Well, lastly, it's beginning to look a lot like, or at least a little like Christmas on the Billboard
200.
Wow. Five holiday albums dot the list this week. All of them are re-entries. Michael Bublé's Christmas, the compilation A Christmas Gift for You from Phil Spector, Mariah Carey's Merry Christmas, the Vince Guaraldi Trio's A Charlie Brown Christmas, and Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song all return to the list this week. And all five reached the top 10 of the chart last season. So it makes sense that, you know, five incredibly chart successful albums are back, and they're the first albums to kind of come back for the new holiday season.
It's all starting.
It's all starting, and I'm here for it.
It's really starting to, I feel like I plug the station every time I talk.
Coast? Is this Coast again?
Again, but they've already made their holiday switch. They made it, I think, Friday last week.
So the fourth?
That wasn't the fourth, was it? Because we're at the 15th right now.
Do you mean,
I mean like this past Friday.
Oh, that would be the 14th?
I don't even 11th? Know. What day is it? No, today's the 15th, so it can't be the 4th.
11th.
Okay, the 11th. That's when it made the switch. And then as I'm like hearing them, you know, play Mariah or whatever, I drive past a Christmas tree farm in Beverly Hills set up, like one of those like lots.
Were
Christmas
trees tree already lots. In there?
Yes.
The tree would absolutely be dead by Christmas Day.
Yeah,
if you get it now.
Well, I mean, you can take care of a tree and keep it watered. Keith is skeptical. Maybe you get two trees. Maybe you cycle them out.
Yeah, I suppose if you're in Beverly Hills, maybe that's what you're doing.
Yes, this is true.
All right. Well, there's the chart chat. And
let's get Jason in here to talk about Grammys.
Yeah, let's do that.
It is Tuesday morning, and the Grammy nominations have been announced for the year 2023. And we thought, what better way to celebrate all this great news than to bring Pop Shop founder,
wow,
Jason Lifschitz into the studio.
Flew out for Grammy nominations day.
The budget for the Pop Shop is outrageous.
Just unbelievable.
But it is, yeah. It's awesome to have everyone here in the same room to talk about and react to these nominations. Of course, Beyonce, the big winner out of the gate with 9 nominations this year, followed by Kendrick Lamar with 8. Adele and Brandi Carlile with 7. These are all big Grammy favorite names that I've just said, but maybe we should just kind of run through the big four to see if we're surprised by anything that happened.
Big four categories being Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best New Artist.
Correct. And so I'm going to start with Record of the Year because it's at the top of my list.
Okay.
I mean, I'm surprised right out of the gate with ABBA. Don't Shut Me Down.
You know, I'm not.
Not after last year, right?
Not after last year when they got nominated for Record of the Year. I guess I'm a little surprised that this song, which wasn't like a hit in America, is nominated. But it's ABBA. So there you go.
Yeah, it's really interesting because on the one hand, you have a lot of really huge superstars in Record of the Year and really with really big hits. You have Adele, Beyonce, Doja Cat, obviously Steve Lacy, Bad Habit, number one, Lizzo, Harry Styles, but you also have ABBA and Brandi Carlile and Mary J. Blige kind of mixing things up. All artists who have been recognized by the Grammys before, but just didn't necessarily expect to see them in this category. But that's also like a symptom of having 10 spots.
Yeah, it's
so
a lot.
Many.
Yeah, let's run through those other songs too. So following ABBA, we have Adele's Easy on Me, Beyonce's Break My Soul, Mary J. Blige's Good Morning Gorgeous, Brandi Carlile featuring Lucius with You and Me on the Rock, Doja Cat's Woman, Steve Lacy's Bad Habit, Kendrick Lamar's The Heart Part 5, Lizzo's About Damn Time, and Harry Styles' As It Was.
I think the initial reaction for me is I'm surprised but not surprised that Mary J. Blige got so many nominations, including for Record of the Year. Surprised but not surprised that Brandi Carlile is nominated because I don't really know this song, but it's also Brandi Carlile, and she always gets nominated.
Yep.
I think most everyone else, I'm not terribly surprised at them being in Record of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, Jason called out Mary J. That's an interesting one. Left field. Of course, she performed at the Super Bowl earlier this year. It's not like she's been hiding under a rock or something. But this song and this album were like, you know, minor hits, but not like mainstream crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we go to Album of the Year?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's ABBA again with Voyage. And then we have Adele's 30, Bad Bunny's Un Verano Sin Ti. That's a history-making one right there. We have Beyonce's Renaissance, We have, let me scroll through the collaborators. We have Mary J. Blige's Good Morning Gorgeous, Brandi Carlile's In These Silent Days, Coldplay's Music of the Spheres, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers from Kendrick Lamar, Lizzo's Special, and Harry Styles's Harry's House.
Okay, it feels like, before Jason says anything, it feels like three quarters of those are things that Katie and I name checked as the likely nominees like 3 months ago.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I mean, Paul literally wrote that article 3 months ago. Yeah.
And I think the only ones that maybe we didn't think were obvious contenders were Lizzo, Mary, and I guess there was a third one. I can't remember.
Did we talk about Coldplay for Album of the Year?
Maybe.
I love Coldplay. One's a bigger Coldplay fan than me right now here in this room.
Coldplay reads a grocery shopping list. They get nominated.
It's a wild nomination for Album of the Year. I would totally understand. It's a wild nomination. But let me just point out that ARMY out there, BTS have an Album of the Year nomination as a featured artist on Music of the Spheres.
Yes. So Tina Turner's also won Album of the Year for contributing to River, the Joni letters that Herbie Hancock put together.
What's your point, Keith?
But I digress.
What's really interesting to me about this category is that you have Adele, who's basically been kind of bulletproof at the Grammys.
Like, right.
Whenever she gets nominated, she wins. Whenever she has a new album, she gets nominated. And that happens again this year. She's up Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, among other things. Everyone else, it's kind of wide open in terms of, like, no one who's really been a winner here before. Beyonce obviously has never won Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. Mary J. Blige, I don't believe, has ever won Album of the Year.
Kendrick
has not.
Yeah.
And then you have, as you mentioned, a very kind of historic nomination for Bad Bunny, one of the biggest albums of this year. And then you have these kind of relatively new artists where someone like a Harry Styles, someone like a Lizzo could really have an enormous moment by capturing the top prize. And then at the same time, yeah, you could have another, let's say, John Batiste moment with Coldplay or Mary J. or Brandy, which has been less kind of like chart topping. But there's a lot of love for those artists.
I'm really not looking forward to another Adele versus Beyonce situation.
Paul called that out right away, too.
What if Adele wins for this album that was more tepidly received than the last album that did win Album of the Year? And then she... Beyonce's again sitting there in the front row with an album that was warmly received, a commercial success with hit singles, and
just give it to Renaissance is what Keith said.
I didn't say anything.
Keith is saying, consider Music of the Spheres. Is that what Keith is saying?
The real contender here.
Let's move
on. Is Keith saying that I'm his universe?
Should we move on to Song of the Year?
You are. Yes, we should. Song of the Year. So,
just read the song title, not the songwriters.
Okay, of course. Well, I'll say the artist, though,
too.
Yeah. So, the first one we have, Gail, the song A, B, C, D, E, F, U. Wow. That's a wow for me. We have About Damn Time, of course, performed by Lizzo. All Too Well, the 10-minute version. The short film?
I don't know what that means.
I talked to Paul about this. Because she's also nominated for... a country song award with this, but it's the 10-minute version from The Vault, which is what I was expecting. I don't know why short film is in the Song of the Year version. We'll talk to... I think Paul's talking to Harvey Mason. Maybe we can ask him about that. As It Was, performed by Harry Styles. Bad Habit, performed by Steve Lacy. Break My Soul from Beyonce. Easy on Me from Adele. God Did from DJ Khaled. The Heart Part 5 by Kendrick Lamar, and Just Like That from Bonnie Raitt.
DJ Khaled has a Song of the Year nomination.
That's correct. Yes, he literally is nominated as a songwriter, as are his collaborators on the song, including John Legend, Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, Rick Ross, and Friday.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a grab bag. You have literally a DJ Khaled song being judged against a Bonnie Raitt song. I just want to, like, let's just take a second to kind of absorb that. But then again, you kind of have these huge hits where it's like As It Was and Bad Habit and Break My Soul. I also just want to say that I'm really happy that Bad Habit actually got nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year. It seems like it should have been a no-brainer, and it was. Like, I'm really, like, one of the more, like, thrilling number one hits in recent memory deserves to be there. And I don't know if it'll have the juice to win over songs by, like, Harry and Adele and Beyonce, but cool. And
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Giving a 10-minute version of one of her most beloved songs.
Exactly, yeah. And the other thing is that it's so interesting. We're going to get to Best New Artist in a second. It's so interesting that, and this happens sometimes, where, like, Gayle gets nominated for Song of the Year, but not
Best New
Best
Artist.
Best New Artist.
That doesn't make sense.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Speaking of Best New Artist.
Keith says, let's move on to Best New Artist. This one is a wild one, guys. We've got Anita, Omar Apollo. This is one nomination here. Domi and J.D. Beck. Then we have Money Long, Samara Joy, Lotto, Måneskin, Toby Nwigwa. I don't think I did that right. Nwigwa. Molly Tuttle and Wet Leg.
Okay, I'm going to say something controversial. I have...
You don't know who three of these people are?
I know six of them.
So you don't know who four of these people are?
I'm not going to say who.
I think I don't know who three of them are. I can name that tune.
That does not diminish their talent in
seven,
any way, shape, or form.
Seven artists.
I'm so focused on charts that some of these names don't immediately jump out as, like, chart stars, which does not – Recording Academy and chart activity does not go hand in hand.
Correct.
It's literally just who people think are the most impressive new artists based upon their creative output during the eligibility period.
Yes.
Well, so I was just talking to Katie about this before we started recording, but I wrote about this for the magazine a month or two ago, which is basically, like, no matter what was going to shake out with these 10 nominees for Best New Artist, it was going to be there's no superstar, because there's just no Olivia Rodrigo this year, there's no Megan Thee Stallion, there's no Billie Eilish. So this was always going to be kind of the case. I'm a little bit surprised and kind of frankly shocked, more than a little bit surprised, that, like, a Zach Bryan is in there. There's no country representation at all in the Big Four, which is pretty wild. I guess, you know, Brandi Carlile kind of straddles that line, but other than that,
Brandi Carlile's not nominated for Best New Artist.
No, in the Big Four. Period. There's no country.
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Zach Bryan, he is nominated in the country field for his song Something in the Orange, but people really expected that to be a no-brainer for Best New Artist.
So I definitely foresaw, like, I thought Lotto would be in there, Money Long, Måneskin, Anita. So there are some expected artists in this 10, but yeah, did not. I if you had asked me yesterday, hey, is Molly Tuttle going to be a Best New Artist contender? I would have said probably not, but there you go.
Do we know for sure that Zach Bryan was absolutely eligible?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he truly came out of nowhere this past year.
And yet Molly Tuttle got more votes than Zach Bryan.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Because these Big Four are just pure popular vote. It's not a special sauce committee. It's not people going through and weeding out people that they want. It's literally just the top vote getters.
Just in case anyone else needs this information, Molly Tuttle is a bluegrass guitarist.
There you go.
Just in case our listeners don't know Molly Tuttle yet.
And also in case one of us said the group Molly Tuttle.
all the Tuttle heads are going to be outside this office.
Tuttle heads.
Molly.
Well, there's the big four categories. There are dozens and dozens and dozens more categories for you to peruse. Make sure to check out all the coverage on Billboard.com, and of course all the amazing coverage that Paul Grine, our awards editor, has probably written already at this point.
Yes, we got snubs and surprises, and of course the 2023 Grammy Awards will be presented on Sunday, February 5th at Crypto.com Arena here in Los Angeles. Jason, you can come back for that podcast.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Come on, let's do it.
Thank you so much to Jason for joining us. It's such a delight to have the original duo back together. I'm just an interloper. But thank you for chatting with us about the Grammy nominations.
I think you've been the co-host about three times longer than Jason.
I have. I've got the my God, what's the word I'm even looking for?
Seniority?
No, definitely not seniority. Longevity. That's the one I was looking for. I've got the longevity on Jason now.
All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. We're going to keep it Grammy related. Katie. It's really Quiz Katie. Mm. Katie, which of these winners of Album of the Year did not also hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Your choices are Judy Garland's Judy at Carnegie Hall, Carole King's Tapestry, Bruno Mars' 24 Karat Magic or 24K Magic, and Mumford & Sons' Babel. Which of those four did not hit number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart?
I sure don't know this answer.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I'm just going to start with Judy Garland.
Judy Garland was number one for 13 weeks in 1961.
13 weeks. Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars, you are correct.
Yes.
Peaked at number two for four non-consecutive weeks at the end of 2016 and early 2017.
Behind?
Four different albums.
Oh, no way. That
I'm
hurts.
Not going to have you guess. I'm just going to tell you.
I mean, was Adele one of them?
No.
Oh, okay.
So Metallica's Hardwired to Self-Destruct was the first
that.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pentatonix, A Pentatonix Christmas. Then the 50 Shades Darker soundtrack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Future's self-titled album.
You know, it's funny. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, it's Bruno Mars right away. But what I was thinking of was the Silk Sonic album that came out the same week as Taylor Swift's Red Taylor's Version last year.
Mm-hmm.
But also was ill-fated because a huge album.
Not ill-fated. They chose to not.
I feel like maybe he's not too strategic about his releases. He's like, this is when it's coming out.
Oh, right.
you know, take it or leave it.
You meant ill-fated in terms of chart position.
Oh, like
I was thinking of Grammys.
A hugely successful album that normally would have ended up at number one on most weeks. But because you're going against Taylor and then the next week is when Adele's 30 came out. But then we've got Bruno Mars' 24 Karat Magic going 4 weeks in a row behind other people.
Not 4 weeks in a row.
Four non-consecutive weeks at number two behind four different albums.
Yeah, it was like the album was consistently a high performer and
that's
it was
wild.
Number two for different weeks, all stuck behind someone else.
Wild.
Anyway, so there you have it. Just a little Grammy trivia woven into the Billboard 200. All right. We've reached the end of our big show. Any other kind of Grammy thoughts now that we've had a moment to process?
I know one.
Oh, you do?
Well, I assumed that's the one you're wanting to talk about.
Oh, well, I wasn't sure if Madonna had submitted anything for any categories because I wasn't sure what her album Finally Enough Love would be considered for. And I wasn't sure if any of those remixes that she did for Frozen and yada. I didn't know if any of those things would count. I kind of thought that Finally Enough Love, the compilation, which was a retrospective, I kind of thought maybe there would be some crazy outside shot. It would be nominated for like recording package or historical recording.
Yeah.
But it was not. I was surprised that the Queen's remix of Break My Soul, which was the remix version that mashed up Break My Soul by Beyoncé with Madonna's Vogue, was not
nominated for remixed recording. Or
right.
Maybe do we know if it was entered? I guess we
don't know. Beyoncé is nominated for Best Remix Recording for Break My Soul, but it's the Terry Hunter remix. So we don't know if the Queen's remix was not submitted for this. But
and, of course, Madonna herself would not have gotten a nomination had the Queen's remix been.
It still would have been cool.
But it still would have been cool.
Do we have any other sort of surprises, thoughts?
I'm trying to think. I've pored over these 91 categories.
Paul wrote a story about snubs and surprises. Nicki Minaj did not get nominated.
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast, and basically exactly what she was concerned about is what happened.
Right.
Like, she got moved to the pop category with Super Freaky Girl, and it didn't get nominated. So,
right.
As Paul says in his story, we don't know if it would have been nominated had it competed in the rap field.
Right.
But it didn't.
Right.
In the pop.
Whereas
the live version of Lotto's Big Energy did get a nomination
in
rap.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then, you know, of course, Jason mentioned how there were a couple kind of obvious folks who were thought to be contenders for Best New Artist, including Zach Bryan, was not nominated. Paul had also mentioned Gail, Dove Cameron, Lauren Spencer Smith.
Yep.
Were all viable candidates. And Paul, in his story, joked that one of the Best New Artist nominees, doesn't even have a wiki page yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting.
She will now.
Should we mention what we're doing this weekend, Katie?
Holy shit. Yes, we should.
Because it is thinly related to the Grammy Awards, because one of the artists that we just talked about.
And it's very related to the Pop Shop podcast.
We're going to go see Who on Friday night.
We are taking a Pop Shop podcast field trip to see Adele at Caesar's Palace on Friday night in Las Vegas.
For opening night of her residency.
Opening night. We are the lucky handful that will be in there Friday night. So, man, we are going to have some thoughts next week. And actually, we're not sitting together, so
no. We
truly can share these thoughts on a podcast.
I'll tell you what it looks like from wherever I might be, and you know, if I can see her.
We'll have different perspectives for sure.
I'm happy to just be in the room.
Yeah, same.
And we get to go to Vegas.
And I'll be covering it, so look for, you know, my write-up on billboard.com.
Yeah, Katie will probably have a laptop in the audience.
Oh, they're not going to let me have a laptop in there? Hell no.
You'll have a notepad and a pencil.
Yeah, I'll be old school. Notepad.
I mean, I vividly remember doing that, like when I covered the opening night of the Britney Spears residency.
Yep. And I did the J-Lo opening night.
Really?
Yeah. Those are fun. They're events.
It's fun, but it's also like all you're thinking about the entire time is like, I need to get this written and get it posted. Oh my God, right now.
You know what? I feel like my brain has been rewired when it comes to concert coverage. Like, to where I'm no longer two different concert goers. Like when I'm watching it for just enjoyment and watching it for work, I like know exactly what to pinpoint and look for to write up mm-hmm. at a concert. The thing about this one is that no one has seen it.
Yeah.
It's not like coming to a Los Angeles tour stop of, you know, Lady Gaga or whatever that it's already been going for months.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I feel like the thing I'm going to have to write a lot about is like, the surprises, the things that people don't know about yet that are not expecting. So
this will also be her first public appearance since her Grammy nominations.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll talk about it.
Maybe she will. She's always
she'll stump for Beyonce is what she'll do.
She'll probably do that.
She'll play Renaissance songs on stage.
Maybe she'll cover Break My Soul.
Oh my God. Cuff it, please.
Maybe Beyonce will show up. That seems unlikely.
Cuff It's a great Vegas song. Why don't you go ahead and cover that, Adele?
Now watch, we say all this and then something doesn't happen and Adele like sort of postpones the residency again or something.
No, please God, don't even say that.
We're on the plane and then we find out.
I know. And then we'll just have a good Wolfgang Puck spaghetti and meatballs meal and go home.
We'll just hang out in Vegas for the night until we come back the following morning. Okay, well, what song should we go out on?
Well, I mean, I guess Cuff It, because I just said it.
I was going to suggest the non-denominated Queens remix of Break My Soul, but Cuff It, I think, is a great selection.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.